It's a year for holiday show anniversaries, it seems. The Cincinnati Playhouse's production of A Christmas Carol is marking its 25th year. Ensemble Theater's musical adaptation of the story of Cinderella is back for yet another round. Last time it was seen was in 2005 and 2010. Ballet has 41 years of The Nutcracker, but I have to tell you, for holiday hilarity, there is no match for Every Christmas Story Ever Told and Then Some, back for its 10th straight year at Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. Here to talk about this all-encompassing send-up of BHCs, that's shorthand for Beloved Holiday Classics, is director Jeremy Dubin, who has staged it for 9 of the 10 years. He wasn't quite ready that first year, but he jumped right in and has been doing it ever since. So welcome, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
So this show, for those of you who have not seen it, follows the model of works that were created by the Reduced Shakespeare Company, several of which Cincinnati Shakespeare has presented, including the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged and the complete history of America abridged. In it, there is one sort of serious character who is beleaguered by two who are totally bent on clowning around, and that's kind of the model that we follow here. Now, this is by a different set of folks. Michael Carleton, James Fitzgerald, and John Alvarez are the playwrights of this piece. But it does have a little bit of Shakespearean roots, I guess we might say, Jeremy. It came out of a Shakespeare festival somewhere else. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, it was created in Florida by these guys who I think very much saw this, the complete works model, which has really kind of spawned this whole genre of theater, this kind of three-hander, wacky, off-the-rails type shows that have become so popular and tend to be very successful. And so they saw that and said, hey, we can do that. Let's do it with Christmas.
And it got picked up here pretty quickly. I believe it was in 2005 when it happened in Florida, and it was 2006 when the first production of it happened here. I went and looked at a website that, you know, you can find anything with information. There have been more than 300 productions of this in the 10 years or so that it's been around.
I feel like we're a good percentage of that.
You are. 10 of those, I would say, put you maybe at the head of the list there. So, in its first years, the show was presented in the courtyard at Arnold's Bar and Grill.
Yes.
But for several years, more recently, it's been on your stage at 719 Race Street. Can you talk a little bit about why you moved from one place to the other?
There were a few reasons, but the main one was just demand, ticket sales. Yeah, it was getting hard to get a ticket. And the courtyard in Arnold's could only hold so many, and they were figuring out every way to jam more people in there. But eventually, and especially once we got our liquor license at the theater, I thought, well, great, let's bring all those folks over here.
So that missing element was there when you could sell that.
That never hurts.
Just how popular is it? Can you talk a little bit about audiences and that sort of thing?
It sells out pretty much every year, and I can say that we usually hit our single ticket goal on this show several weeks before it opens.
Okay. Well, I can imagine that that's going to be happening, and with the 10th anniversary, there'll probably be more people coming out. Some people might wonder, okay, I've seen it once, why would I come to see it again? well, I've seen it several times, and it is, I mean, the structure is there, and the characters are sort of there, but it's not the same show every time around. Can you talk a little bit about how you get to that point?
Oh, sure. It's, as you said, the bones of the piece are very much in place, but it is a piece that lends itself to topical humor. So we always like to pick over the best of what's happened over the previous year and try to incorporate some of that into the show. It also keeps it fresh for us.
Say the best, you mean things like stuff happening in the news, in the world, here in Cincinnati. It seems
here in
to
Cincinnati
me that,
or nearby.
Seems to me there were a couple of streetcar references a year ago, and that's always good to get people riled up.
Indeed, so, people loved that.
Yeah.
This year, and not to spoil anything, but there may be an appearance by a certain county clerk.
Well, we'll all be waiting for that then. So the show starts predictably enough as a retelling of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, but within moments, two of the three actors say, all right, been there, done this, don't want to do it anymore. No more Ebenezer Scrooge and all of this. Sarah Clark is playing the Dickens proponent in this and keeps trying to get back to that, but it's not really until after the intermission, and even then she has a hard time holding on to it. Justin McCombs and Billy Chase are the two clowns who really keep disrupting things. But then there's also an MC for this, and that's Miranda McGee playing the part of a, I guess I would call it a more than inebriated Santa Claus.
She likes her eggnog.
Miranda is from Australia, and in fact, I believe at least the times I've seen it, she's been sipping a big can of Foster's much of the time that she's there.
Much to her chagrin, yes.
So the humor, some of it is just Miranda. I presume she's ad-libbing a lot of what's going on there.
Yeah, they're certainly trying to sort of lay down certain structures for her to play within, but absolutely, there's a lot of room for ad-lib within that character. And that character actually is one that is particular to production, which came out of a necessity of when we were at Arnold's. We needed someone to be running sound and lights, and obviously they have no booth there or anything like that. So we had someone with a boombox sitting in front of the stage, and to make it more festive, we created this Santa character, and then it just became so much a part of the show that once we moved over to our theater, we wanted to keep that in there.
Well, that's a piece of news that I didn't understand, because I've never really actually looked at the script for the thing, but that's great. And Miranda adds a totally zany dimension to all of this, and no one better than Miranda for doing that. I read a comment from you that you said that the show has become a very personal holiday tradition for those of you doing it. This particular cast has been together for 4 years, maybe five now.
Yeah, something like that.
And tell me a little bit about what it's like, because I presume it's not like people have to work real hard to come back up on their lines again and that sort of thing, but you are injecting new material. What are your rehearsal processes like?
Well, they're pretty quick at this point. Yeah. Usually about a week before we go up, we'll start getting on our feet and just making sure those words are still in brains. Usually a couple weeks before, we'll maybe start pitching on some of the new material and people have ideas for new holiday toys and things like that.
Have you ever counted just how many BHCs are included in the show?
I have not, no.
I mean, it has to be at least 10 or 12.
I would say so, yeah. It's a whirlwind.
Yeah. This year is the 50th anniversary of a Charlie Brown Christmas, and that's present there.
Absolutely.
And one of my favorite moments is Justin doing his rather lewd Frosty the Snowman interpretation. Do you have a favorite moment in the show, or is that too hard to pick?
There are lots. I can say one that just gets me every time I see it is Justin when he does Mr. Gower from It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes. And that, we should mention, is the second act when Sarah's Dickens lover finally thinks that she's going to get to do A Christmas Carol, but it gets totally entangled in It's a Wonderful Life. In some ways, that is remarkable to watch as to how many parallels that, well, you've probably never thought of are really there, and characters sort of match up from one to the other. And
yeah, it's a lovely bit of writing. It's a great mashup.
So it really is a great, fun thing to do. And this show typically runs from about the middle of December. It opens a little later this week, and then will be up until just a few days after Christmas.
Yes.
And we need to say that if you don't have tickets yet, you better get them fast, because they really do go, and you don't really have much opportunity to extend the show because you get into your next set of productions pretty early in January.
Absolutely. And you know, once you get too far past Christmas, the interest drops off pretty rapidly.
That's right. There are whole new stories to be told by that time. Well, every Christmas story ever told, and then some, as its title gives it, gets underway on Wednesday this week and continues through December 27th. I should add that the 90-minute show is not recommended for anyone young enough to believe in Santa Claus, but it's perfect for adults and older teens. For more information, follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. My guest this evening has been Jeremy Dubin, the man behind Cincinnati Shakespeare's madcap production of Every Christmas Story Ever Told. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Rick.
Happy holidays.
You too.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.
We are Justin McCombs and Sarah Clark from Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. Here is a short selection from Every Christmas Story Ever Told, and then some, regarding that age-old question of Santa Claus. Yes, Virgustinia. There is a Santa Claus. He lives in the hearts of children and advertising executives everywhere. He lives in shopping malls and TV specials. He lives in Coca-Cola commercials and in those frightening little mechanical dancing dolls that people put on their front lawns. And in bell-ringing, moth-eaten corner drunks.
Aww.
But do you know where he lives most of all, Justin?
The North Pole.
That's right. The North Pole, where it's 70 degrees below zero and water freezes before it hits the ground, where there's no vegetation to support life, let alone eight reindeer.
Nine reindeer.
Not to mention a couple of 100,000 slave labor elves who crank out hundreds of millions of toys. Of course, they're doing it with no raw materials or modern power tools or supply lines, but he lives there, Justin. He lives there all the same.
Tell me how fast the sleigh goes again. And the cookies.